This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Wendy Gillette. The death toll has risen to 55 after wildfires roared through a tourist town in Maui. Hawaii Governor Josh Green.
We're just about 48 hours in, and there's tragedy on the roadside. There's tragedy in the homes in Lahaina, and we're trying to be very careful to respect the dignity of people who have had such loss.
Hundreds of homes and buildings burned to the ground.
Everything is gone. There's nothing left.
J.D. Hessemer owns a business in the area.
I did have another employee stay back and said he was going to finish something up. And he did get out from the fire, but he also lost his home.
A hearing is scheduled in about an hour in former President Donald Trump's case involving his alleged efforts to overturn the 2020 election. It will govern what Trump can say about the case. Loyola Law School professor Lori Levinson.
Trump's team is claiming that most of the material should not remain secret. They do not contest that things like grand jury materials could have a protective order, but they are concerned about the proposed breadth of the protective order that the special counsel has proposed.
COVID is back this summer. Correspondent Cammy McCormick has the details.
The World Health Organization says the number of new COVID cases rose 80% in the last month. Even though it says COVID is no longer a global health emergency, it warns the virus will continue to circulate and mutate, causing occasional spikes in infections, hospitalizations, and deaths. Summer gatherings, travel, and a new subvariant could be playing a role. These latest numbers could be misleading, though, as little testing is going on.
Five U.S. citizens could soon be heading home from Iran as part of a prisoner swap. They would be exchanged for Iranian prisoners and billions of dollars. CBS's Margaret Brennan.
The White House said this is not ransom and that no U.S. taxpayer dollars will be used. The funds are from unfrozen Iranian oil revenue.
The Americans were released from prison and are under house arrest until the funds in South Korea are unfrozen. Nearly a third of hospital pharmacists in the U.S. say they've rationed, delayed, or canceled treatments because of drug shortages. Correspondent Jim Krasula.
The concerning finding comes from a new survey from an association which represents more than 60,000 hospital pharmacists and technicians. Shortages are especially critical for chemotherapy drugs.
The shortages are currently at a record high. 99% of the pharmacists who were surveyed say they've experienced issues. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and max speed with Indeed. Their hiring solution platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Finding great
Looking
candidates.
For more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Here's what you need to know in northwestern Wisconsin. Barron County officials said the Marathon County Bomb Squad was called in to get rid of dynamite found near Rice Lake on Wednesday. The Sheriff's Department said an outbuilding had to be destroyed as well due to it containing materials that could easily catch on fire or explode. According to a release, the property owners had no idea there was dynamite in the outbuilding. A Cumberland man was sentenced to 4 years of probation for stealing rebate checks while he worked as a mail carrier. Joshua Kopis is accused of swiping 30 Menards rebate checks totaling $4,500 from people on his route. Kopis pleaded guilty to mail theft by a postal employee and will have to pay all of the money back. A Neillsville man was sentenced to prison for killing a highway worker while he was driving drunk. Ray Neumuller will spend 10 years in prison for killing Russell Opelt and seriously injuring David Murphy while they were working to remove a tree in the road near Greenwood in 2021. Neumuller pleaded guilty to the charges of homicide and causing injury by intoxicated use of a vehicle back in April. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
The Todd Alba Show.
I see the silhouette of Todd Alba, who still hasn't figured out that maybe a TV person could help, you know, set this whole thing up.
For whatever reason, yeah. StreamYard's video is just deciding that the room is too bright.
When has Todd Alba been accused of being too bright? I mean, really there? I'm like, where's Aaron with the rim shot?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
When you want something so badly, what you're able to justify and rationalize and get over. So I would say there's not a non-zero chance.
But what record would she run on? Foxconn?
I mean, what did she run on for governor? Probably the same thing.
I just remember her warning about people will be marrying coffee tables once gay marriage is allowed. So I'd like her to run just so I can ask her how many of those weddings she's been to.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else. The Civic Media network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Watching the sun bake, all of those tourists covered with oil, strumming my six string on my front porch swing, smell those shrimp there beginning to boil, wasting away. Nothing to show but this brand new tattoo, but it's a real beauty, a Mexican cutie. How it got here I haven't a clue. Wasting away again in margarita.
That is some good music for a Friday morning. Jimmy Buffett, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show for the second hour. And we are awaiting the possibility of some breaking news. It is about an hour from now, I guess. The Trump team, the Trump lawyers, are supposed to be in court for a look at the protective order, right? There's a hearing this morning on prosecution call for a protective order preventing Trump from revealing information from material handed over to his attorneys. And I'm sure you've noticed. And by the way, if you have an opinion on anything, feel free to call in. I'd like to hear what your opinion is. The phone number is 715-388-7155. And as we've seen with Donald Trump over the years, whenever he is indicted or accused of something, it's always about delaying, like delay the trial, delay anything and everything in order to just keep plowing forward. And justice delayed is justice denied. That's the headline of a story in U.S. News and World Report by Susan Milligan, senior politics writer. The subheadline says Trump has long kept up the strategy of asking for more time in the myriad cases against him, but this time arguing, among other things, that he needs to be on the campaign trail, he has had limited success. The right to a speedy trial is enshrined in the Sixth Amendment, further strengthened by a 1974 law meant to protect defendants that sets the clock at 100 days for federal cases. And the country's most famous current defendant, former President Donald Trump, doesn't want it. Trump's lawyers are scheduled to be in court Friday morning, today, for a hearing on a prosecution call for a protective order preventing Trump from revealing information from material handed over to the defense that could influence or intimidate witnesses or jurors. The Department of Justice asked for the order after Trump issued a broad threat on social media to come after people who go after him. It's a side issue to the combined 78 counts Trump is facing so far in federal state courts, but it took up a week of the federal court's time. Meanwhile, Trump's lawyer this week filed a motion to exclude 25 August days from the Speedy Trial count, or Speedy Trial Act count, arguing that complexity of the second federal indictment of Trump, four felony counts related to the January 6th insurrection, make the case for more time. Delay tactics have been a central part of the Trump legal playbook, experts note. Trump, the former businessman, dragged out cases. A case against his for-profit Trump University was delayed for 6 years until it was settled, and not before, by then-President-elect Trump, asked for yet another delay in the trial of the class action suit. And Trump, the commander-in-chief, managed to draw out cases accusing him of violating the Constitution's Emoluments Clause, a provision banning federal office holders from receiving certain gifts and payments until after he left office. The Supreme Court dismissed the cases as moot, since Trump was by then a private citizen. As a former president, Trump has kept up the same strategy, asking for more time in the myriad cases against him, but this time he has had limited success. In February, he asked a New York judge to delay by 6 weeks a defamation case brought by advice columnist E. Jean Carroll. He got a week's more time, and when the Trump team again asked for a one-month delay past the April 25th court date, arguing that a separate case that had just been charged against him involving hush money paid to a porn star would prejudice the jury, the judge said no. In March, a New York judge rejected Trump's request to delay a civil fraud case brought against Trump, his company, and his children, brought by New York Attorney General Letitia James, saying the October 2nd trial date was set in stone. In July, Trump's lawyers asked for an indefinite delay of the classified documents case filed against him in Florida. The Trump-appointed judge, U.S. District Judge Aileen Cannon, nonetheless set a trial date of May 20th, 2024. And when the Trump team wanted to extend the debate over the protective order, the prosecution and judge pushed back. U.S. District Judge Tanya Chutkan last week denied Trump's team's request for more time to respond. And when Trump's lawyers filed their response right at the 5 p.m. deadline on August 2nd, prosecutors were back with their rebuttal hours later, and Chutkan set an August 11th date for a hearing. And that's the hearing that's coming up in the next hour. Typically, it's the defendant who wants a quick resolution, says Richard Fraze, professor of law emeritus at University of Minnesota Law School and an expert on sentencing and criminal law. They want to clear their names. The defendants want to clear their names. And if they can't make bail, they may languish behind bars while awaiting trial, he notes. But with Trump, the situation is reversed, with the prosecutions eager to get going. Trump, quote, presumably has the interest many defendants have, hoping the government's case gets weaker over time as witnesses' memories fade or they leave the area, making it harder to track them down and bring them in to testify, Frace says. Trump also has the very particular interest of being a candidate and not wanting to be convicted before the election, Frace adds. Trump has said he believes he would be able to pardon himself if he is elected president again, a claim disputed by some legal analysts. But the federal and state governments have a stake in a speedy trial as well, says University of Baltimore law professor David Jaros, a former public defender in the New York City borough of the Bronx. Quote, while the speedy trial right is the right of the defendant, the government has an interest in moving cases through the system, and therefore the defendant can't simply say, no, this isn't good for me this month. I'd like to put this off and continue to campaign, Jaros adds. When the government wants to move their case forward, have their witnesses, the defense does not have a parallel right to say, no, we're not in the mood to do this, to do it this week. That being said, it's fair to acknowledge this is not your typical case, Jaros adds, and Trump has many ways to drag out the cases against him. The clock on a speedy trial starts ticking as soon as it's filed, but there are many ways to stop the clock temporarily, says Stephen Prejosi, New York appellate attorney. The defense can file all kinds of motions related to the evidence, including how it was obtained or whether it should be excluded. They can ask for more time to review what could be many, many thousands of documents the prosecution turns over to the defense. All of the disputes could result in pretrial hearings that stop the speedy trial clock, Petrosi says. And here's a quote. It says, this is a dance that happens prior to trial. This could go on for months, he says, and that's before it comes to selecting a jury, which could be a lengthy process of finding unbiased jurors on cases that have been very much in the public eye. There's the question of juggling the various cases so Trump is not put in the odd and impossible situation of having to defend himself in different courthouses at the same time. He's now facing two federal criminal indictments, the New York City civil hush money case, a New York State civil fraud case, another civil defamation case brought by Carroll, and an anticipated criminal indictment in Georgia's Fulton County. Legal analysts say there's no clear-cut procedure for determining who gets to go first. Department of Justice Special Counsel Jack Smith on Thursday asked for a January 2nd trial date for the January 6th related indictments. Chutkan scheduled an August 28th hearing to set a trial date. Smith said he expected the trial to go on 4 to 6 weeks, which would mean Trump would be facing trial time during the most intense period of the presidential primary season. While that indictment is less complicated than it might have been, Smith did not indict the six co-conspirators mentioned in the charging document, for example, which would have delayed things. It is still a very complicated case, says Alan Morrison, who teaches civil procedure and constitutional law at George Washington University Law School. 9:18, going to take a quick break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Monday morning feels so bad. Everybody seems to nag me. Coming Tuesday, I feel better. Even my old man looks good. Wednesday just don't go. Thursday goes too slow.
The mailing and delivery landscape has grown exponentially since the United States Postal Service's inception. But Dr. Joshua D. Colin, Chief Retail Delivery Officer, says,
there's competition everywhere, okay? But if we are efficient and we are lean and we are managing our resources the right way, we're going to be around a long time. No one goes to every door every day. We do.
The United States Postal Service, delivering for America.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, big Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Because I joined last night and I'm hopeful. Wow. I'm hopeful that it is more fun than Twitter has been lately, because Twitter has not been that fun lately.
I do wish it weren't those two.
I know. It's a weird thing to be cheering for Mark Zuckerberg right now.
I'm choosing between the Joker and the Penguin. This is not a winning solution.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattenair. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
A few lingering morning thunderstorms, then partly cloudy with a few more isolated thunderstorms this afternoon into this evening. And one or two of those could be strong to severe, with hail and wind being the main threat. 82 today, tonight down to 58 tomorrow. Mostly sunny with a high right around 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 69.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Going back about 50 years or so, and let's see, what do we got here? 23 and a half minutes after 9 o'clock now. It is 70 degrees right now in Richland Center and 68 degrees in Eau Claire. And let's see, I was going to mention that Eric Carmen is celebrating a birthday today. Eric Carmen, lead singer from the Raspberries, born on this date, 1949. Why don't we do some health news? Okay, this is from the New York Times, and there's a headline. This was posted yesterday. It says even 4,000 steps a day can have a big health benefit. Or it actually says even 4,000 steps a day can have big health benefits. But the more you walk, the better off you'll be. This is by Danny Bloom. It says, exercise scientists long ago debunked the notion that you need to hit 10,000 steps each day to stay healthy and live longer. Even a little movement is good, they argue, though more is better. Now, a new study underscores that people can reap significant benefits from a comparatively small number of daily steps. Researchers analyzed 17 studies that looked at how many steps people took, typically in a week-long period, and followed up on their health outcomes after around 7 years. They concluded that a habit of walking just under 4,000 steps per day reduced the risk of dying from any cause, including cardiovascular disease. That translates into a 30 to 45 minute walk, or roughly 2 miles, although it varies from person to person, said Dr. Seth Shea Martin, a cardiologist at Johns Hopkins Medicine and an author of the study. But the more steps you take, the better off you are. Mortality risk decreased by 15% with every additional 1,000 steps participants took. It's the best medicine we can recommend, just going out for a walk, said Dr. Randall Thomas, a preventive cardiology specialist at the Mayo Clinic, who was not involved with the study. This study could not definitively prove whether the steps themselves decreased the risk of developing diseases and dying, or if people who tend to be healthier anyway also get more steps in throughout the day. And because the researchers combined data across studies to determine that 4,000 step target, it may not confer the same benefit for every person, said Jennifer Heiss, an associate professor at McMaster University and the author of Move the Body, Heal the Mind, who was not involved in this study. I wouldn't want people to look at that as a magical number that you must be above the exact step count, Dr. Martin said. It's more so that more is better. That principle is already well established in exercise research, said Dr. Iman Lee, a professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School and an expert on step counts and health, who was also not involved with the study. But this new research emphasizes that fitness is not all or nothing, she said. Every little bit of exercise helps. The small snippets of movement built into our day, trailing from the bedroom to the bathroom, darting out to get coffee, add up and make a difference, she said. But people who don't consider themselves to be active or who may struggle to exercise because of chronic conditions may underestimate the value of the movement they get, Dr. Heiss said. Taking an extra loop around the block or stepping out for a 10-minute walk break can have a big impact. People who are at the high end of the step count in these studies are likely already exercising, whether they're running or playing sports, Dr. Lee said. It is those who currently get few steps who could benefit the most from moving more. Got it? So the more you do, the better. Even if you're not doing much, doing a little bit is better than nothing. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
CBS News Brief. Parts of western Maui are cut off after devastating wildfires that killed at least 55 people. CBS News correspondent Jonathan Vigliotti is there.
Many who escaped the flames are now waiting for roads to reopen to see if their home survives. But others who've been trapped inside by those same road closures are running low on basics.
A prisoner swap is underway that soon could bring home five American citizens who were imprisoned in Iran. Secretary of State Antony Blinken.
This is just the beginning of a process that I hope and expect will lead to their return home to the United States.
A court hearing is scheduled within the hour involving former President Donald Trump. CBS's Tom Foti on what will be discussed.
A mid-morning hearing in Washington, D.C. federal court will focus on how much former President Donald Trump should be allowed to say about evidence in the election interference case against him.
CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's what you need to know in northwestern Wisconsin. Barron County officials said the Marathon County Bomb Squad was called in to get rid of dynamite found near Rice Lake on Wednesday. The Sheriff's Department said an outbuilding had to be destroyed as well due to it containing materials that could easily catch on fire or explode. According to a release, the property owners had no idea there was dynamite in the outbuilding. A Cumberland man was sentenced to 4 years of probation for stealing rebate checks while he worked as a mail carrier. Joshua Kopis is accused of swiping 30 Menards rebate checks totaling $4,500 from people on his route. Kopis pleaded guilty to mail theft by a postal employee and will have to pay all of the money back. A Neillsville man was sentenced to prison for killing a highway worker while he was driving drunk. Ray Neumuller will spend 10 years in prison for killing Russell Opelt and seriously injuring David Murphy while they were working to remove a tree in the road near Greenwood in 2021. Neumuller pleaded guilty to the charges of homicide and causing injury by intoxicated use of a vehicle back in April. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
Does your financial strategy include your hopes and dreams? What matters most to you? For over 100 years, Thrivent has helped clients like you find financial solutions for life's important goals. Explore a full range of options, from financial advice and investments to insurance, banking, and generosity programs. To have a heart-to-heart about your finances, contact Mandy Roberts, who you may recognize as Mandy Wright. Call her at 715-470-1303. 715-470-1303. Mandy Roberts proudly serves the Central Wisconsin area. For more details, visit thrivent.com/disclosure.
The Devil's Advocates Radio.
The entire light beer industry is under attack from the right at this time. Apparently, that they no longer have women in bikinis selling the beer.
I would suggest, and this is on the Fox Entertainment Network.
I believe it's the Fox News. Well,
well, I just hope I don't get the Captain Morgan and Diet Cokes, man. That'd be a sad day.
The Devil's Advocates Radio with Dom and Crew. Weekdays 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
It's what's on tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, 9:34 right now. Everybody wants to rule the world. I don't know if that's true. Not everybody wants to rule the world. I can think of one guy that wants to rule the world. I bet Donald Trump would be happy with that job. That's probably what he's going for, right? Hey, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. We got 69 degrees in Amory right now. It's 65 in Hayward. If you want to join us on the phones, feel free. The phone number is 715-388-7155. And, you know, we've seen with these recent decisions in states by voters to support access to women's health care, the presidential election next year may turn out a little differently than we thought it was going to. I have a story here from Politico that says Biden world sees the making of a wider path to victory in 2024. The president's team is focused on the states that got him the White House, but the issue of abortion has them dreaming of something bigger. This piece was posted this morning at Politico by Holly Otterbein and Jonathan Lemire. It says Joe Biden's team thinks his path to victory in 2024 could look an awful lot like it did in 2020. But people close to the president believe that voters' enthusiasm about abortion rights could also unlock new roads to another term. The most straightforward route that those in Biden world see includes protecting the blue wall of Rust Belt states that were essential to his success 3 years ago, while preparing for repeat battles in the new swing states of Georgia and Arizona that he swiped from the Republican column. Biden's aides also are moving to expand the map. Above all else, they believe North Carolina, where a 12-week abortion ban has gone into effect, is a legitimate pickup opportunity and no longer Democratic fool's gold. A senior Biden campaign official, who was granted anonymity to speak frankly, said it would be crazy to not put North Carolina on the map since the president only lost it by one percentage point in 2020. Biden's campaign and the Democratic National Committee have aired ads there as well as in former President Donald Trump's home base of Florida, where an amendment to restore abortion rights could be on the ballot next fall. And after this week's election in solidly red Ohio, where voters defeated a proposal designed to restrict abortion rights, a handful in Biden's orbit have begun to dream a little bit bigger, thinking that state could maybe, just maybe, be in play. Quote, "I never count out Ohio," said American Federation of Teachers President Randy Weingarten, a close ally of Biden's. "What you saw this week in terms of Ohio is that fairness won out," end quote. Becca Siegel, a senior advisor who led the Biden campaign's data and analytics efforts in 2020, said the team's goal at this early stage in the race is to maximize the chances of reaching 270 electoral votes in whatever way you can. "It's an approach that the Biden operation also took in 2020, she said, when it put states like Georgia and Arizona on their list of possibilities, even though that shortest path to winning was flipping back the Rust Belt states that Hillary Clinton lost in 2016. She said the strategy is designed to protect against uncertainty in both polling as well as in Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, the states Trump unexpectedly flipped in 2016. Biden went on to take those battlegrounds back last election, as well as Georgia and Arizona. Strategists in Biden world are clear-eyed about the difficulty of winning in Florida and Ohio. Few share Weingarten's optimism about the Buckeye state, and others say Florida is wishful thinking. Both states, once the ultimate battlegrounds, Barack Obama won them both twice, have moved decisively to the right in recent cycles. Instead, the president's map begins with that trio of Rust Belt states he took back from Trump, according to five sources close to the Biden campaign, who were granted anonymity because they aren't authorized to speak publicly. They think the Sun Belt states of Georgia, Arizona, and Nevada are also among the top toss-ups. They also foresee a likely rematch with Trump. Quote, will it probably just be the same states? Yeah, probably, said one of the people close to the Biden campaign. But the source added, the abortion issue is alive and well and gives the Biden campaign a certain advantage. You have an abortion referendum in places like Florida and Ohio. Well, that makes you take a good look at things. Maybe all of a sudden, Ohio is in play. The White House has spent more than 2.5 years zeroing in on the states of Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan, repeatedly dispatching the president and top advisors to union halls and construction sites there. But there are questions about the blue wall's sturdiness. A round of recent polling shows Biden in a dead heat with Trump in the three battlegrounds. An Emerson College poll of Michigan voters released last week found Biden and Trump each at 44%, with Trump sneaking ahead if Green Party candidate Cornel West is on the ticket. A Marquette Law School survey released the week before showed Wisconsin voters a 50-50 split between Biden and Trump. And a Pennsylvania poll by Quinnipiac University released a month prior told a similar story, with Trump edging Biden 47-46, though it was well within the margin of error. Those tasked with securing the president a second term are not overly worried. They might admit that the race will be tight. They argue that Biden's legislative record, his leadership on the world stage, and the economic growth coming out of the pandemic will help propel him to another win. They also believe that Trump's legal challenges, litany of scandals, and MAGA positions will alienate swing voters. At the same time, they acknowledge Trump's strength in those swing states, particularly among white working-class voters. Trump has also picked up support among union workers, despite Biden's close relationship with organized labor. And all three of the Rust Belt states feature large cities, including Philadelphia, Detroit, and Milwaukee, where Biden needs to reverse a drop in enthusiasm in both young voters and black voters, particularly men. In the midterms and throughout elections this year, we've seen that President Biden's message is the winning one for 2024. That said, we fully expect this to be a competitive election and will take nothing for granted, said Kevin Munoz, a spokesman for the Biden campaign. We must earn every American's vote, which is why we're already investing in our battlegrounds and key voting blocks. Of the three Rust Belt states, the people close to the Biden campaign feel the most confident about Michigan, but even they don't think it's a sure thing. Pennsylvania, many believe, will be closer. Biden has spent more time there than any other swing state and hails from neighboring Delaware. But Trump showed remarkable strength with white working-class voters in the state, and Biden did not quite meet projections with that same group in 2020, according to two sources familiar with internal campaign data. In fact, some in Biden's orbit believe that demographics indicate Pennsylvania may be where Ohio was 10 years ago, only growing more challenging for Democrats with each passing cycle. Others are less bearish, pointing to wins by Governor Josh Shapiro and Senator John Fetterman in 2022 as proof of strong momentum in the state. Wisconsin, most of the sources believe, will be the closest state on the map and quite possibly the race's tipping point state. Did you hear that, Wisconsin voters? Wisconsin, most of the sources believe, will be the closest state among those states and quite possibly the race's tipping point state. Arizona, they think, will likely be the next, followed by Georgia and Nevada. Georgia, though, could be more challenging depending on the nominee. Some close to the president believe that it arrived as a swing state ahead of schedule, and only Trump's presence at the top of the ticket puts it in play, especially if coverage of his likely election interference trial there saturates the state. Another Republican, in their view, likely carries it. So you see what that says. They think if Trump is the nominee, Georgia will be in play. But they say if another Republican is the nominee, they will likely carry Georgia. Back to the story, it says, but there are differing takes on that front. The senior Biden campaign official disagreed, saying that Georgia is in play, even if other Republicans win the nomination. And broadly speaking, the person argued that it is too early to have too firm of opinions about what the map will look like next November. Alex Conant, a Republican strategist who was a senior advisor to Marco Rubio's 2016 presidential campaign, said a big question for Biden is whether his base returns to him. Does he recover his footing with younger voters, with non-white voters? Can he get those numbers back up, he said. If not, it makes states like North Carolina and Nevada really tough for him. Trump, he said, faces his own challenges. For Trump, can he improve his standing with independents? My sense is that he has not so far. If he can't, due to reminders of January 6th, then you could see Pennsylvania fall off the map. Maybe Arizona and Georgia get tougher, too. Not every Democrat is dreaming of new paths to 270 electoral votes. Jim Messina, who served as then-President Barack Obama's 2012 re-election campaign manager and has at times informally advised Biden, said that 2024 will feature the smallest map in the history of American politics. That's a reflection, he added, of two candidates who are so well known and the increased political tribalism in the country in recent years. Though polls suggest concerns about Biden's age and a lack of enthusiasm even among voters who like him, the president's team is confident in their chances in a second round with Trump. An abortion they think will be key. They expect it to drive turnout, including among suburban women and voters who may be lukewarm to the president. When Roe v. Wade was struck down, there was a huge shock of, oh my God, this really happened. They really took away a right. And as these states have been more and more extremist, you're seeing more women and families wondering why their government is taking rights away from them, said Weingarten. I do think it is expanding the map, end quote. So abortion could be the key issue in next year's presidential race. What do you think? If you have an opinion, give me a call, 715-388-715-5947. Going to take a quick break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
In times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' Hot Cheetos Chicken on a Stick? Deep-fried Old Fashioned? Or Pino Pretzel Popper Brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original Cream Puff has been around almost as long, close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino Pretzel Popper Brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change.
Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Tap.
A few lingering morning thunderstorms, then partly cloudy with a few more isolated thunderstorms this afternoon into this evening. And one or two of those could be strong to severe, with hail and wind being the main threat. 82 today, tonight down to 58 tomorrow. Mostly sunny with a high right around 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 69.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
By that, we are young but getting older before our time. Man, stepping out, Joe Jackson, celebrating a birthday today, born on this date back in 1954. I remember when that album came out, I actually saw Joe Jackson on that tour back in 1983 down in St. Petersburg, Florida. Sold out show, place was packed, and it was a great show. And I actually remember while this song was playing, my buddy and I kind of snuck down onto the floor and went right up to the stage. It was like they couldn't even see us, but it was a fun time, man. Everybody was dancing and having a great time. Yeah, good old days. Joe Jackson for you. On the radio, Stu Daniels here, Stu Daniels Show, final segment. We got 71 degrees in Eau Claire right now. It is 70 degrees in La Crosse. Hope you're having a good day. And we should talk about the fires in Hawaii before we wrap things up. Man, it's just... news coming out of Maui right now is so sad. It's hard to believe that this even happened. But now the count, the death toll count up to 55, and they're saying it could go higher. I have a story here from NBC News. Hawaii wildfires leave utter devastation in Lahaina. None of the wildfires are 100% contained, officials said Thursday night. More of the Maui wildfire that devastated the town of Lahaina was contained on Thursday, but as the damage became clearer, Hawaii's governor said the disaster will likely be historic. What we saw was likely the largest natural disaster in Hawaii state history, Governor Josh Green said. He compared it to the tsunami that struck the Big Island in 1960, killing 61 people. The number of people confirmed dead in the wildfires rose today to 55, but officials don't know how many people died in the fire in and around Lahaina or how many people may still be missing. Recovery of remains is expected to take days and weeks, the governor said. The fire that struck Lahaina was 80% contained on Thursday. Officials said none of three fires burning were 100% contained. Maui County Fire Chief Brad Ventura said. Green said the damage from the fires was without a doubt in the billions of dollars. On Thursday, President Joe Biden approved a major disaster declaration and ordered additional federal aid. Green said that will allow rental assistance and FEMA grants to people and aid to small businesses. Also Thursday, some airlines sent help. United canceled flights, so empty planes could be flown to Maui to help tourists and other visitors leave. Alaska Airlines said it was sending rescue flights. County officials have asked visitors to leave in order to focus on the crisis. California and Nevada said they were sending urban search and rescue teams, including dogs. The death toll, as it is currently known, makes it one of the deadliest wildfires in American history. The campfire in California that devastated the town of Paradise in 2018 killed 85 people. That fire has been called the deadliest wildfire in U.S. history in the previous 100 years. It was the deadliest and most destructive in California state history, according to state officials. So what we know so far about the wildfires, the deaths of 55 people have been confirmed from fires that tore through Maui, and mass evacuations continue for visitors and residents. Six fires are burning on Maui and the Big Island. Officials reported progress in battling the blazes, saying the Lahaina fire is now 80% contained. Hawaii Governor Josh Green said the fires are likely to be the largest natural disaster in the state's history. President Joe Biden pledged that the federal disaster response will ensure that anyone who's lost a loved one, whose home has been damaged or destroyed, is going to get help immediately. Sad story. Another piece here said it just kind of goes over the same things. But it's a really sad story coming out of Maui. If you've ever been to Hawaii, you know what a beautiful place that is. When people describe it as paradise, it's not an overstatement. When you're there, you just feel a sense of being in a place like paradise. Everywhere you look, it's just nature busting out with all the vegetation, wildlife, and the birds. It's a spectacular place in that town that got destroyed. Have you seen the videos of it yet? Just nothing left, nothing but charred remains. That town was, I guess, the biggest tourist destination on the island of Maui, Lahaina. That's where many of the tourists spend their entire vacation while they're there. Many hotels and resorts, places to hang out. And from the pictures I've seen, it looks like it's all gone. Sad story. We'll keep you posted on further developments. And hope you have a good weekend. Yeah, hope you have some good plans. Take advantage of the remaining days of summertime. And I'll be back on Monday morning, 8 o'clock. Thanks for tuning in to the Stu Daniels Show. This is where I belong. This is my home. This is where I belong. This is my home. This is where I belong. Oh, yeah.
it's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
So much waiting for me. Yeah, I wanna go outside. I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.